We've been looking at a number of passages of Scripture during the time of offertory, dealing with the sovereignty of God and His message that clearly has gone forth into all the lands. One of the passages that we looked at was in Acts chapter 14, and in verse 17, He declares that surely He has given us a witness, hasn't He? He's borne witness to Himself in all things. And we know that not only do the heavens declare the glory of God, but as Romans chapter 1 tells us, that God has given us witness even within our own heart, a sense of knowing right and wrong, as well as Ecclesiastes states that God has placed eternity in the heart of man. We know that God exists. Now, Romans 1 also tells us that we deny that because we pursue our sins. In our arrogance, we want to believe something else because we want to believe our sins, or embrace our sins. John states this in John, actually Christ declares it in John chapter 3 as well, in which He says we're not coming to the truth because we love our sins. We love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. And so we know that God is not without a witness. And we know that even as Paul states in Acts chapter 17 to the Epicureans and the Stoics, as he's reasoning with them, that God had even declared to them through their poets. And he quotes their poets, "In him we live and breathe and have our existence." He says, you know this to be true. Nevertheless, you deny it. If you look with me in Romans chapter 16, there is another thing that we deny, and that is evil. In this day and age, we're saying that evil does not even exist. There's no such a thing as evil. And yet the Bible has been telling us all along, there certainly is. Romans chapter 16 tells us that the day is coming when the fulfillment to Eve is going to be ultimately consummated. And that is that the serpent, Satan, the devil, will ultimately be destroyed. All such names making reference to the serpent, the twisted serpent, which is telling us that he's convoluted, he's deceitful. I'm reminded of the fact that truth is always very clear. But the lie is very convoluted. And the evil one would want to bring obscurity. Could there be a God? Perhaps this little statue is a God. Now just think about it. Could that statue create the heavens? Just take a moment. Just a little reflection here. And as Isaiah the prophet writes, as he begins to describe those that cut down the tree, and he says, you take that same tree, you use it for logs in your fire, and the other part of it you make a god out of. Think about this. And it really reminds us that we're not thinking. We're embracing our own sin when we go this way. The same is true with evil. We want to deny the fact that there is evil and that it influences and oppresses in this world, and that there are some that will not change because of their love for this evil. Nevertheless, the Bible is very clear. There is a Satan. There is a twisted serpent who will twist. There is a god of this world. And Satan, who is the great adversary of God, and the devil, which his name means the one who accuses. We know this is true. And the promise was given to Eve in the garden that someday through your seed would come one that will crush the head of this evil one. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? To know that there is victory over this evil. Does evil exist? Absolutely. Is there someone who will save us? Absolutely. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And through woman would come, not through man, but through woman would come, one that was a virgin, and that God would produce His holy seed that would ultimately crush this evil one. Our fathers have been telling us about this evil all along. Not only, I'm sure, was Adam and his genealogy conveying it, as he then conveys it to Seth, and Seth ultimately through Noah, But then as the flood comes, we see the evil and the starting over again. And we have three in this ark that are with Noah, that are part of his genealogy. And these eight all together come out of this ark. Did they not know about this message? The only ones surviving now populate the earth. Do they not know? Do they not pass these things on? And clearly it's been passed on through our forefathers over and over and over again. And so we now turn once again to a Chinese lesson. And I'm going to ask Tina to come up as she demonstrates to us through the ancient language of Chinese how God has not been without a witness. And surprisingly enough, we're talking about evil, aren't we?
And I'm not ancient.
And you're not ancient. Okay, sorry. Did I say you were ancient? Ancient Tina, right.
And it's wonderful these words would illustrate to us and make it clearer what God is wanting us to know. So
now you all have sheets of paper, right?
That's right. Some here. Of you, yeah, for everyone to have one. But you can see the first word I have there is the word for devil. And so
now this is an ancient language, and they have devil in the language.
How did they know?
I wonder. He was existing back then, too.
Right. God's spirit. He's always been there. So once again, lots of different components to give you the meaning. So this word means garden. And this card this part means secret.
Secret.
So you can see how this word came about to mean the devil.
In the garden.
He told me
the deceiver. Deceiver. This one little stroke sometimes would mean a movement. So it's almost like the devil is prowling. So it seems very meaningful that God would reveal.
Of all words, of all ways to describe the devil, why would they put it back in the garden?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Right. So the other two words are made up by this word. So the second word means tempter. And it's adding.
Do you need one that writes better?
I think it's okay. I'm just not writing heavy enough. So you can see the word for devil is down here, right? And so there's a cover and two trees. And once again, the devil among the two trees, hiding.
Tempting,
deceiving.
Now this is, it's important to remember too, in the Chinese language, this is just a general word for tempt, but they put the devil in there, right? And then bring us back to the garden.
And so the Chinese would put this word and this word together to mean Satan. So it's almost like emphasizing how he's such a deceiver and a tempter.
And an adversary against God.
In the garden. So the third word, I thought it was really interesting too. It's also made up with the word for devil. And there are two parts. This word, of course, devil. This word means heart. So God created our hearts to contain him only. When we yield our heart to the devil, guess what? You have guilt.
Guilt. There you go. And once again, that's a general word for guilt.
Yeah.
But then it's rooted in the devil tempting us.
Yeah.
And bringing us. And coming into our hearts.
Right.
Once we go into temptation, then we find guilt.
Mm-hmm. And we have the devil in us.
Thank you so much, Tina. An ancient language, God has not been without his witness. All along he's been telling us that he not only exists, but there is an evil and there is a way out. And as we've been looking at some of the words also, we've seen what that way out is. It's Christ crucified and risen for us. What a wonderful truth that is. Shall we pray? Father, I want to give you thanks for your loving kindness to us in that you have borne witness to us down through the ages, through your apostles, through your prophets, through your word, through your heavens, through creation, even through our fathers. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.